here's a story from The World.
10 years ago, Japan faced one of the deadliest natural disasters in its recorded history, a magnitude 9 earthquake followed by a tsunami that gobbled up towns and cities. In Fukushima, of course, it also triggered a nuclear meltdown. Many disaster relief groups rushed in to help. This next story is about one program that remains in place. It's had a profound impact not only on the disaster survivors, but also the volunteers who came to help. Isabella Bloom has a story of three people, and a whole community, really, who found a way to repair a bit of the damage caused by the disasters.
Atsushi Futatsuya always knew his fate, whether he liked it or not.
When did I realize that I will be the next boss? I knew that before I started learning how to eat, I guess.
Atsushi grew up in Takayama, Japan.
As the third generation of the one sashiko family business.
Sashiko is a Japanese sewing craft with origins going back hundreds of years, when working class women would practice sashiko out of necessity. Using sashiko stitching, they'd patch holes in clothes that started to show signs of wear, fabric that started to thin. The extra stitching from thick white thread reinforced old clothes, making them last longer and keep people warmer. These days, sashiko is having a moment in the U.S. It's one of those things that Americans think are cool and trendy, like Japanese denim or matcha lattes. But sashiko is also valued as an alternative to fast fashion. This idea of taking clothes and repairing them, adding patches and stitching to make something new out of something old. But for Atsushi...
How did sashiko affect my family? It f***ed up. I'm sorry to say that. It literally f***ed up. There was a family business, but I don't think there was any family.
From the time he was young, Atsushi really did not want sashiko to be his life. He didn't think Japanese people valued sashiko as a craft, and he didn't want to commit his life to something nobody cared about.
Because people think sashiko is meaningless, I thought my life was meaningless. The more I grew up, the more I get my identity, I stood refusing my fate.
Atsushi tried to tell his family, but nobody took him seriously. In 2008, when he was right out of college, Atsushi's father pleaded with him to help the company. The business was failing.
Then I promised with my family that I will do my best for a few years, 2 or 3 years, to flip the company.
He had a clear plan to get in, get out, but... Then, in 2011...
A lot of things changed.
All across northern Japan, they felt it. A violent magnitude 9.0 earthquake on March 11, 2011.
An earthquake so strong it literally shifted the Earth's axis by about 25 centimeters.
The small rural town of Otsuchi was among the many towns that were completely ravaged by the Great East Japan earthquake and tsunami. Kishi Hitotsukabuto lived on the outskirts of Otsuchi, near the mountains, so she never dreamed a tsunami could possibly reach her home. I was sitting in my home sewing, and there was this huge earthquake, she remembers. So I went outside and all the cars were shaking. The telephone poles were shaking. While I was thinking, wow, this is incredible, I heard a warning. A tsunami is coming. I thought of running away, but the tsunami was already racing toward us. I grabbed my dog and ran upstairs. The tsunami came quietly. It was completely silent, but it was so fast, she says. The tsunami wave came twice. It swept over the town and then receded, building up momentum again before rushing right back over the town. Kishi fled with her dog toward higher elevation after the first tsunami wave. Nearby, she could see neighbors and other people from the town standing on a bridge, watching the tsunami sweep over their homes below. They all stood there, watching. After the disaster, people within and outside of Japan started rallying support for the affected areas and people. One such person was Kazuya Yoshino, a 30-year-old web designer from Tokyo. Kazuya, like a lot of other young people in Japan, felt like he wanted to do something meaningful to help those affected by the disaster. So he quit his job and went to Otsuchi. There, Kazuya noticed that each day, the older women of the town would sit in evacuation shelters with nothing to do but think of everything they'd lost. So he thought of a solution. He would bring the women together to learn a craft with deep cultural roots in the area. It'd only require some cloth, needles, and thread. At the evacuation shelter with the older women of Otsuchi, Kazuya put together the Sashiko Recovery Project. Kazuya wanted the women to be able to make money for themselves. So he'd take whatever Sashiko products the women were making and sell them throughout Japan, and even overseas, so that the women made a small income. As they got going, Kazuya needed Sashiko thread. It's not the same as regular thread. It's thicker, made of cotton.
Who orders 150 thread, skeins of thread, to the evacuation shelter? Like, I thought that was something very strange.
Remember Atsushi, who was trying to help his family flip the company? He got this order.
So that's the first time I realized there was a project which could help people with using Sashiko.
So a few months later, Atsushi went to Otsuchi to see how he could help. He spent most of his time with the elderly women, listening to their stories.
There was one 85 years old lady, who lost everybody, including the great-great son. That was like 3 or 4 years old boy. She told me that she didn't know why she survived. Why? Like, why didn't I go? So she was just waiting to go. It pretty much, the tsunami took a lot of things. For some people, that was only the house. For the others, pretty much everything. They kept saying that they could kind of forget about how horrible it was while they were stitching.
In January of 2012, in an area of Japan well known for its brutal winters, the only place Atsushi could rent was a shed, where he stayed bundled in a sleeping bag and a ski mask.
In the morning, we wake up in the very, very, very cold winter. We eat the frozen apple as the breakfast, and they were all tired and depressed, the staffs. I have a theory, I have like a principle that any human can survive if there's warm food and a little bit of a smile, or a little bit of laugh, a joke, or comedy. So the warm food and a bit of laughing time can survive through the most difficult time.
And that's how people felt at the Sashiko meetings, held in a community center on top of the mountain where people had fled to when the tsunami came.
I strongly remember the cold weather from the ocean and cold weather from the mountain, yet in that room was very, very warm. Like, of course, temperature-wise, but probably more than that. People were chatting, laughing, smiling. They were all laughing and stitching together.
In this room, Atsushi and the other volunteers sat at tables, doling out Sashiko materials to women, chatting and receiving any products they'd finished and paying them for it. Kishi, the woman who fled the tsunami with her dog, began coming to the center to get supplies for Sashiko. She says, everyone's doing Sashiko happily when they come here. The tsunami survivors have fun and look forward to coming. Today, 10 years on from the disaster in Tohoku, Kishi is still part of the Sashiko Recovery Project. Atsushi teaches Sashiko workshops internationally and has fully embraced the craft, even though he's no longer working with the family business. Instead, he's started his own company, Upcycle Stitches. He writes about Sashiko and Japanese culture on his website. Something he wrote that stood out to me was this concept called minge.
So minge is literally is the folk art, the art of the ordinary people.
The minge movement was an intentional effort to hold on to the value of Japanese craftsmanship and preserve the culture of handmade functional art.
The movement was to find the beauty in the usage. Usually the art is something you enjoy in the displayed case or on the wall, something you admire by looking at it.
And that's what Atsushi started to see in Sashiko.
But the Japanese define the beauty in the ordinary.
A craft he once viewed as meaningless had renewed value when he saw how it helped repair this community. And that was the beauty.
The fact that somebody in Japan or somebody outside of Japan are willing to pay for what they make, they probably thought that they were a part of the society, although they lost everything.
For The World, I'm Isabella Bloom.
We have extensive reporting on the earthquake and tsunami 10 years ago in Japan. Find that online on our website. We are theworld.org.